Okay, we start here with the two dots on the top of Chav Gimel and Aleph. Gemara says, Eitavei. Efer kasher, shenitarev, beifer makle. So you have ashes that got mixed together. Ashes that were ruim for the para aduma, that were set up to be for the para aduma. And then, efer makle, regular ashes. Chokrim achara rov litame. We go after the rov in terms of whether they can be mitame. Ve'iruba efer maklehu. If the majority is just regular ashes, lo mitame, then it doesn't give off tuma, doesn't project tuma like the ashes of the paraduma would. It's a very strange lashon. I don't know why it sets it up that way. It seems like that's almost the two sides. That if you go after the robe, the tame, and then what is that? If it's ruba for maklehu, lo mitame. So it sounds like that side is the robe being defer para, and then the other side being the efer makle is tahor. But to be honest, it's not an easy way to read. It's not a clean lashon. So we go after the robe, the tame. Now the focus of the Gemara is ruba efer maklehu, lo mitame. Viamart. And if you say tuma kiman deite dami, that tuma even over when it's nitzbatel, it's as if it still exists. Dehi de magalo mitame litame b'masa. Even if you want to suggest now, so it's not there. Well, if it's not there, so you can't come into contact with it. So in terms of tumat maga, direct contact with the ashes, there you'll be tahor, because the rove eliminates the miyut. And then b'masa, if you carry it wherever it is, you're carrying it. Wherever it disappeared to, whatever that is, that miut is, you're carrying it now. And therefore, you should at least be mitame b'masa. Now, the Gemara says, Hayit marla. In Ochanami, we have said about this. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Tohor mitame b'maga. Aval mitame b'masa. That's exactly what you are suggesting, that by maga, it will be tohor. But by masa, you will be tame.
And so here, if we look at it within the context of maga, anytime you come to contact with the object, we're going to assume the ashes that you touched the rove. That's why you're going to be tahor. But when it comes to masa, you carried the entire entity. Since you carried the entire entity, there's no way that you didn't carry the part that was tame. So over there, we're going to say you're tame, even though by maga, we're going to assume that you touched the rove.
So first of all, the question of the Gemara, which says Eitavei over here, who is the question on, or what is the question about? So Rashi says Eitavei li Rabbi Yirmiyah, that this is a question back on Rabbi Yirmiyah's position. Rabbi Yirmiyah's position of Chozer v'Neyur. Whereas if you look up at Tosafot, Mitoch Per Shekunchus Ma'ashem Shebaladakde De'ein Tuma Orere Tuma, which is basically what the Gemara is trying to suggest over here, that there's Tuma in Orere Tuma Midachashvina Tuma Kiman Deleita, since you're treating the Tuma as if it is not there. That Abai would come and ask on himself.
Because he himself holds of the din of
Tuma or Rere Tuma. Ask from our Mishnah. The questions are independent of each other. Even if you don't think that the Tuma is there now, is extant now, but it's buried there, that might be independent of the question. Tuma could be Orer Tuma. Tosafos explains over here that there's a possibility that Afilo lo chashiva Tuma kamandita, mikom akom dinu al Tuma shorer Tuma. Because Tuma could be Me'orer Tuma, even if it's Kamandaleta, if it's not there. Because that's a totally separate din. So Tosafos sees this as an independent question, independent issue, rather than being connected, like Rashi says, to the previous sugi of Tuma, Orer Tuma. So Tosafos sees the way the Gemara is posing the question right now is, well, if you want to suggest that Tuma can come back to life, well, that means that it should have other implications. Other implications, like there should be Tumat Masa, even though there may not be any Tumat Maga. Not to suggest here that the din, or question, the underlying din of Tuma Orer Tuma. Because Tuma could be Orer Tuma, even if it's Kamandaleta, if it's not there. So now the Gemara asks a similar question. And Vela is Batel B'Shchuta. Shiyav Shalun Vela, Shete'ase Shchuta. So now Rashi eliminates this Girsa. That's a mistake. We know that already from the Gemara in Kometz Rabo and Menachot. Because over there, the Gemara tells us that Shchuta can become Nevela, and Nevela can become Shchuta. How does Nevela become Shchuta? When it rots. When a Nevela rots enough, it loses its shame, Nevela. So it can take on the status of Shchuta. So therefore, Rashi eliminates this part of the Girsa. So Gemara says over there, you have Nevela, Betela, B'Shchuta. So now, nehi demaga lo mitame, letame b'masa. Over here, if you're saying that it's nitbadel b'toch l'shkuta, why is it totally nitbadel? It should still exist in some way. There, it should command the ita. It's command the ita. Fine, it's not mitame b'tumat maga. It should be mitame b'tumat masa. Amrle atun b'rav chista matnitin la. You have it in the name of Rav Chista. Anon b'rav chia matnitin la. We have this memra set over in the name of Rav Chia. And tani Rav Chia nevela u'shkuta b'telo zu b'zu. Nevela u'shkuta k'mivatel achad et ha'sheni. One each other. B'itmar ala amr Rabbi Yosi b'rav chanina tohor miletamei b'maga v'metamei b'masa. And on that, we have Rabbi Yosi b'rav chanina's statement that was just the same way that we had it before with the gabei, the efer makle and the efer tamei. Here we have it, the gabei, the shkuta and the vela, that ain't ochanami. It's the rove here takes care of the maga, but does not take care of the masa. You'll still be tamei tumat masa. You'll be patur again from yisur. You'll be not be mekabel tumat maga, but you will be mekabel tumat masa.
Now, in this case, by the shkuta and the vela, it's much harder to understand the Gemara's distinction between maga and masa. By efer makle and efer para, when they're mixed together, me'urav together, and then you picked them up, picked up the entirety of the entity, you picked up the tumah. When you touched it, you touched the rove. Over here, by basar nevela and basar shkuta, we already know the din from the Gemara and Orva Rotev, that it has to be a case where the kazayit is b'makom echad. Even when it comes to the din of masa, we know that you have to pick up a whole nevela in one shot. And over there in the Gemara, we say that if you have two chatzei zeitim, two half zeitim of nevela on a pick, on a toothpick, and you pick them up, you're tahor, because it has to be a kazayit b'makom echad. If you already have a kazayit b'makom echad, which is enough to be mitameyu for tumat masa, then it also should be sufficient to make it problematic in terms of isur, and make it problematic in terms of maga. Because now we have a kazayit of nevela that's located in a single place. So that's what this large tosfot deals with.
Why would you separate between tumat maga and tumat masa? First of all, if you remember from Orva Rotev, Rabbi Akiva connects the two. Rabbi Akiva says that you can only be tamei b'masa if it has ra'ui l'tamei b'maga. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva believed if you carried something that was totally enclosed, if you couldn't reach it, if you couldn't touch it to become tamei, you also couldn't become tamei tumat masa. So what over here leads the Gemara to believe that you could have Tumat Masa without Tumat Maga? Whatever would make it available to be Tamei Tumat Masa should also make it available to be Tamei Tumat Maga. And that for a reason, Tosfot over here is trying to work out exactly what the case is. So over here, Tosfot says, oh, but even though here you're not Tumat but Tamei Maga, it's possible to become Tamei Tumat Maga. Because it's not encapsulated, it's not hidden from you. If it was in the right circumstances, you could become Tamei Tumat Maga. Just happens to be that it's batel barov, you can't get to it, you can't touch it at once. But because you could, that's enough to allow you to become Tamei Tumat Masa. Tosfot says, V'yesh lefaresh shenimuach kol yachad, that everything melted together, everything came together into one big pot, to suggest that it's actually one entity now. And if they become a single entity, then we could suggest that there is Tumat Masa over here. But he says, well, okay, but then why is there no Tumat Maga? So he says, Vim Tomar, this is really the fundamental question. Maishna, to the union Tumat Masa, lo mahani bitul barov, mishum besof sof hare no se kezayit nevela, because in the end you're carrying the kezayit of the Tumat, uliani isur mahani, da filu isurim bevatlim zeh. Even multiple isurim, if I take, for example, we had this in Zvachim, Pigul, Notar, and Tamei, that are mixed together. They'll all be Mevatel, one at the other. And so he says, Mashmat, the Heter, Pshita, the Lukuliyama, the Mevatel of the Isur. The Heter can be Mevatel Isur is like a given. So the Heter can be Mevatel Isur. Why does it work for Maga and not for Masa? Even if they are melted together. Avagav, the Masa, Tamei, Patur, Afila, Yochel, Bivde, Achilai, Pras. Even if you're going to be Tamei for carrying it, but yet, if you eat it with a kazayit b'kdei achilei pras, m'manav shachari achal kazayit nevela b'kdei achilei pras, you're still going to be patur. So he says, you come up with this crazy situation where for eating basar nevela, patur, because it's batul barov. Carrying, you're going to be tameh. How could you? That's like an absurdity. It's the same question as asking by masa and maga, what's the difference between them? Why should it be that Masa carries this additional weight? So the Tosfot gives an answer, which is very difficult, but he says, V'yishlamar, Duliana echila ko mashu mashmu shkenichnas beit abliya kama kama boto berov. Heter. As he swallows each piece, it's boto berov. Each piece that he swallows has a bitul berov of the heter, and it's kama kama boto, so that you never get the kazayit with kdei achilat pras together. It's a very, very difficult explanation. The whole way that kdei achilat pras works is to be mitzteresh. V'dami lo maga, kishenaga v'chazar v'naga, d'tahor. It's like if you touched, then you touched one piece, then went to the next piece, next piece, next piece. Even though between all the pieces that you touched, there's a kazayit, but you didn't touch them simultaneously. So still do over here, when you swallow it, you're not swallowing it simultaneously. But Tosus comes out in the end. He kind of sneaks it in, but his answer in the end is, the fact that you're tamei tumat masa here is a din derabanan. The din derabanan. It's not mi'ikar ha-din. Mi'ikar ha-din, if vato barov works, it works to get rid of the isur, works to get rid of the maga, works to get rid of the masa. It's done. Okay, so now why were they gozer over here by masa? They were gozer in masa because they were worried that people would come in other circumstances where it wasn't batel barov to carry the kazayit or the kabeitza and make themselves tamei. So because of that, they were gozer because you were in contact, you moved the entire tumah, there they were gozer. By mago and swallowing, even though by swallowing it there would be reason to do it, he says, though goes the rabbanon because of this kamakama batel situation. Again, a very difficult Tosafot, but a very difficult sugya of how to separate between the mago and masa, how to separate between the isur being nitbatel and the masa being tameh. I just want to frame it for you to understand the difficulty of this gemara. The gemara takes it for granted that this should be the case. But it's not so simple to separate between them. Again, especially according to Rabbi Kiva, who sees maga as a prerequisite for masa. In the end, if you switch it into a gzera derabanon, that eases a little bit of the problem, because in gzera derabanon, you do have to explain why in masa, there I think you can have more reason to say that they were gozer b'masa versus other tuma or other isurim. V'aditznan, what about our mishnah? By the way, this is what the question was, what's this gemara doing here at all? I mean, that we've been going through this chozer v'niyur, we're going through all this issue here, has nothing to do with our gemara. It was like a non sequitur. All of a sudden they brought in Reish Lakish speaking about seer and mayim, had nothing to do with our gemara whatsoever. So here's the connection back to our gemara. What about our mishnah? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer behema gasa sheshafah harer adam, that expelled from its womb a cake of blood, harizut tikaver, if to bury it, v'niftira min ha-bechora. And it still takes care of, in terms of the bechora, that the next animal born to this behema will not be bechor. V'tani Rabbi Chiya, ein matama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. And on that, Rabbi Chiya qualified it and said, it's not mitamei maga or masa. Amai, nehi d'maga lo mitamei titamei b'masa. Fine. Tumat maga we can get rid of. But even if you're using bitul barov, tumat masa should remain. And we said before, what's the reason it's not mitamei b'maga masa? Naguba, b'mishum bitul barov, naguba. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon had the same din. Both of them in the Mishnah, one in the Mishnah Nida, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov over here, have the same din, that the din is that it's not mitameh because it's batel barov. The dam and the other liquids overwhelm the basar, and therefore the basar is no longer mitameh. And over there, when he says batel barov, he says the gamrei, that it's batel barov. No mago, no masa. What happened to the tumat masa? If it's kamad diita, then the tumat masa should still apply. Ishtik. He had no response for him. That's a really good question. It's a strong question against this position. So then he said, Demdilma, shani ocha, da'avila tumat serucha. Maybe over here, it loses its status of nevela completely. Not only is it not, it's batel barov, so that it's not mitamei b'nevela, it may no longer be a nevela. Because we know that after a certain point, objects, or ochel, that rot, lose their shame tuma from them. It has to reach a certain threshold, but once it crosses that threshold, they can't rehabilitate them anymore. They're gone, legamre. So that's a suggestion over here that it's srucha, that it's rotted so much, it's something that is totally inedible, to the point where it no longer has the shame nevela on it. So Gemara says, anicho lebar pado, that works well according to bar pado, damar tuma chamura ad legir, tuma kala ad lekelev. So this is again something we saw in Chulin. The idea is, how far does something have to rot or go bad in order for it to no longer to have a shame tuma? So according to Bar Pada, when it comes to tuma chamura, Rashi says tuma chamura means tumat masa, and tuma kala, Rashi says, means tumat maga. Tosafot disagrees and says tuma chamura is anything that has tumat masa in it, even tumat maga in that. So in Nevela, it's tumat maga is tuma chamura, even though you're doing it through maga. So Tosafot says it's a categorical definition, whereas Rashi is talking about the means of tuma. But it's tumat masa versus tumat maga. Tosafot seems to make a little more sense that we're talking about a category of Tumah rather than simply a type of Tumah. Rashi just expresses it as Masa and Maga, which Tosfot says he doesn't think is right. Now you could read Tosfot into Rashi. When Rashi says Tumat Masa, he means things that reach Tumat Masa, they are Tumat Chamura. Things that reach only Tumat Maga are Tumat Kala. I think that's probably the way to explain Rashi, and that way he'll reconcile with the way Tosfot is explaining it. But what Pada says is, if you have Tumat Chamura, which is something like Nevela, in order for it to no longer be nevela, it just has to be inedible for human beings. If as long as it's inedible for human beings, it no longer has tumat nevela. Tumat kala, which is like tumat ochlin, things that are, you know, you can't rishon sheni, those types of things, tumat kala ad the kelev. It has to be no longer edible for a dog in order for it to lose its shame tumat. So that'll work over here. Halochazi leger. This charet dam that was expelled by the animal, nobody's gonna eat that. It's not edible. It's not ready for human consumption. Nobody's gonna eat that. Therefore, you could say it's shrucha and no longer has tumah. Elo Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan Damar, Rabbi Yochanan says, achadzu v'achadzu ad the kelev. It's irrelevant what type of tumah we're talking about. Whether it's tumah chumra or tumah kala, it has to be ainu ru'uya the kelev. It has to be no longer edible for a dog than achadzu the kelev. We know that dogs would eat this chareret dam, so how can you talk about tumas shrucha over here? Kasho, that's a problem. If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, then you're going to have a problem over here. Now truthfully, Barpado, Tosfot mentioned this as well, that Barpado over here does not have to hold of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, remember, said that the inyan here is bitul barov, because he says, Rabbi Lezim Yaakov, naguba mishum bitul barov, and then because of bitul barov, there's no tumat magal masa over here. Barpada, because of the way he holds, does not have to say it's bitul barov. What he can say is it's enu ra'ui l'achila for a ger. And therefore he doesn't have to even say bitul barov. He can say the reason that Rabbi Chiya said in our Mishnah that it's not metameh, it's nothing. It's not tumah anymore because it's not ra'ui l'adam. So Barpada does not have to agree with Rabbi Yochanan at all. He can come up with a totally different reason. If you do say that Barpada holds the Rabbi Yochanan bitul barov, then he could even say that it's shrucha here. Alright, now the Gemara says Gufa. Let's deal with this Barpada and Rabbi Yochanan. Barpada amar tumah chamura ad geir, b'tumah kamal ad kelev. Rabbi Yochanan amar chadzu b'chadzu ad kelev. So this is a repeat of what we just saw in Barpada and Rabbi Yochanan. My time, the Barpada. What's the reasoning by Barpada? Dichtiv says, lo tochlu kol menevela, lager,
asher bisharecha, titnena b'achala.
The geir gets the nevela. So you see that the determination of what's called the nevela is the geir. Haruya the geir kruya nevela. Whatever is ro'i the ger is called the nevela. There's an association between giving it to the ger to eat and the din of nevela. So it's only called the nevela as long as the ger toshav will eat it. V'idach. What about Rabbi Yochanan? Yochanan agrees that there's a higher threshold to reach tumah from the beginning than there is once it is tameh. Once something is tameh, to remove the tumah, that'll be much harder. But to get tumah, you have to be at a minimum threshold. So he says, if it's already musrach mi'ikara, not edible for human beings, they'll never get to the point of tumah. On the other hand, after it's tameh, you want to remove the tumah, then you got to go at achilat kelev. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Vidach, what about Barpado? Hisricha mi'ikara, lo tzricha kro, b'me'utei afro ba'almahu. If it's already musrach from the beginning, it never reaches the point of shame nevela, he says that's called dirt. That's not called a nevela to start with. So then Rashi says, oh wait, now we have a solution for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said before that we have to wait until it's not ruya l'achilat kelev. So we couldn't explain it the chareret dam case, a bitul barov. But wait a minute, he just said if it's musrach mi'ikara, if it's already rotten from the start, it never gets the tumat nevela. So why don't we answer for him? This chareret dam doesn't have tumat because it's musrach mi'ikara. It's Mizrach Meikara, then you don't have any Tumat Nevela. That would be a solution for Rabbi Yochanan. So that's what Rashi says. V'ikasha le'el nami amai mukminin la'bikasha. Havalele tirutu le'ochi. Lo metamei ha'chare adam b'masa. Dimikara sruchahi. It was right from the beginning, and even Rabbi Yochanan, a feeler Rabbi Yochanan modeba. So Rashi says that doesn't work. Taritz lav srucha meikarahi. It's really not srucha meikara, because how did this start? It started out as a fetus inside the mother. And the achazia the gera gavi mei calls manchaita babetin. As long as it was still being carried in the womb of the mother, it was edible. It was edible. It only becomes inedible when it's expelled as a charer dam. So there was a point where it was edible, and only after the expulsion does it become inedible. So that you don't call srucha mi'ikara. So therefore, that couldn't have been the answer for Rabbi Yochanan. But that also gives us this understanding of what this srucha mi'ikara means literally. It has to be something that never attained or never reached that point at all. For instance, as Rashi points out, This animal lost its, all its limbs were broken, its lion, it started to rot before it died. I mean, it was a rotting animal before while it was alive. So then when it dies, it wasn't edible from the beginning. It never reached or attains the shame of Eilat. But over here, where Agavima, it was Re'uya beforehand, then that's not called Shrucha Mi'ikara. In terms of Ad Kelev, Tosfos says there is another pasuk. We know that it says, Basu B'Sadeh Trifalo Tuchelu, L'Kelev Tashlichun Oto. So I would have thought that was the source for the fact that Achadzu Ad Kelev, that it goes until the dog, because L'Kelev Tashlichun Oto. So it says that's not the source. Because by Kelev it does, but the Ger Otoshav in the pasuk that we're quoting from Re'ei, that the Ger Otoshav talks about Achila. So over there, it's a din in Achila. But over there by the Kelev in Pashat Mishpatim, it says, LaKelev Tashlichun Oto. Doesn't tell you about anything about Achila. It doesn't say that that's connected with Achila. And therefore, he quotes the Pasuk, which we also learned in Zvachim, that the source for LaKelev Tashlichun Oto is actually from Izebel. Izebel, who's the wife of Achav, who, in the end, the Navi predicts, is going to be eaten by the dogs. So we see over there in the end that Alma Achila Klavim Shema Achila. See, the eating of dogs is called Achila because the Navi says Izebel is going to be eaten by the dogs. So that's called Achila, and that's the source for the fact that Achila Kelev is still Shema Achila. So not from what we would have thought the most obvious pasuk in Pirshei Mishpatim, but rather from this pasuk in Melachim Bet. Tznan. V'lez ben Yaakov omer behem agasa sheshavat acharei dam rezut tikaver. Nifteret min ha-bechura. B'tani Rabbi Chiya nimetam alo b'magav lo masa. So that's our Mishnah qualified by Rabbi Chiya. V'amar Rabbi Yochum mishum bitu barov naguba. Ma yiriya mishum bitu barov. Tigalei delo itchazek laon. So let's say that it's not ru'uya. So the Gemara's answer is, anam itchazek mikara gavimei. What we just saw in Rashi, that a gavimei, that it's ru'uya, and therefore it's not considered to be srucha mikara. It's not hotom. We have a Mishnah over there. Rabbi Elazar Miyakov omer, tzir tahor shnafal l'tocho mayim kol shuhu. We have tzir tahor, we have brine that is tahor, that has water that fell into it. Now, what exactly this water is that fell into it, depending on what you hold, is tumah ureret tumah. Remember we had before, machlok between Abaye and Rabbi Yirmiyah. According to Abaye, then only tumah is ureret tumah. Something of the same status can be ureret the other one, but if it's a different status, it won't be ureret. Rabbi Yirmiyah says it's irrelevant. So here you have tzir tahor. We have tzir tahor. Tzir tahor can be two different reasons. It could be tahor. It could be tahor because the robe is tzir. Or it could be tahor because you did hashaka. You put it into the mikveh, and even though the robe was mayim, you were meant to tahor it through the mikveh. So let's assume that one of those two things happens. Then, nafal tocho mayim shkoshu. Some water falls into it. Tamei. Now it's tamei. Assumption being that the tzir tahor here went to the mikveh. It went to the mikveh and there's mayim tmeim inside of it. So the mayim tmeim inside of it are either batel, the gabe, the tzir, or if they're the robe, they had a shaka that took them and made them tahor. But now you put water into it. The water that you're going into it, what's the status? That water is going to be me'orer, the old water. Now that depends according to whom. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, it's irrelevant whether tahor water or tamei water are going in together. They'll be me'orer. So here, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, the water going in is irrelevant what type of water is, because it can be me'orer, the old water. The water that was tamei, this tahor water could be me'orer. But according to Abaye, it says that the only way to be chozer b'neir is if you have the same things. So Rashi says is that this little koshu of water that fell in there, it belonged to an amaretz. So now what you have is something that is the same. You have water amaretz that falls into a tzir amaretz. So therefore the water that's falling in is the same status as the water inside of this tzir. And that's why it can be mo'oreret, even according to Abaye. And that's what Rashi says. If you look at Rashi, tzir tahor, gon she shiko mayim shenafal letocho mayim koshu, that you had this tzir that had hashaka done to it, then mayim koshu falls into it, tamei. Because we saw before that the Amei Aretz are nechshad to put half water in their tzir. Then the min found its mino. According to one who says when tumah is nitbatel, it doesn't come back to life. Mukile shenaflu bo lachar hashakat me'am aretz koshu. You'll set it up a case here that the mayim here that fell in was mayim amaretz. Then they'll become the robe when they mix together. And that's according to Abaye. You had Torah water fall in. Torah water is not going to affect the waters that were tamei, because it's tumah and tara. Tara is not me'orer tumah. What Rashi does is we'll say that the case is a case where they both are the same status, the water. Both waters, the water that's falling in as well as the water inside, both had a shaka done to them. Now they're of the same status. When they get together and become the rove, then they're chozer v'niyor. Right, the mind becomes the rove. But until this point, it sounds like until this point the water was the miyud. So the way that the water is nitar was they rove of the tzir. And that's why it's chozer v'niyor. Even though Rashi claims that they did a shaka with this in the beginning, they did a shaka with this mixture to be manaf shak v'tahor.
Now, depending on what water you fill in here will actually make a nafkamina or a difference to the next part of the Gemara. And that is because the next part of the Gemara is going to assume that the object became Tamei, and it became Tamei because that water that fell in is mitzaref to the water that exists there. Now, if you hold like Rabbi Yirmiya that water that's falling is Tahor, the only way this can work is if the water was the minority. It was either Mechzor, Mechzor, or the minority, and therefore it was not Nitar, therefore it was not Nitar Yidei the Mikveh, because it's Nitbatel to the Tzir. Then this Tahor water joins together with the water that's inside of it and becomes the rove. But had the water been the rove to start with, and it was Nitar in the mikveh, when this new Tahor water falls in there, it should have no relevance. On the other hand, according to Abaye, that the water that's falling in is Tamei, in that instance, even if in the first case the water was the rove, and it went into the mikveh and it was Nitaher, Ayudei the mikveh, it still would become Tamei again, because this water that's Tamei will be Mitamei, the Tahor water inside. So according to the way we're explaining it for Abaye, according to Rashi and the Tosafot, that the water that fell in was water of Amaretz, water that was Tamei, then even in the first case where the robe was water, the water falling would be a problem. Even when the water is the minority, as long as it's close to the halfway point, and this kosher will bring it over the halfway point, that would be sufficient to create a problem over here. Whereas for Rabbi Yirmiya, the only way to have a problem here is if the water was either Mexo, Mexo, or below, a little below that, and the kosher sends it over the robe point. But if it was rove to start with the water, and it was nitar yedei hashaka, the new water that's tahor falling in here will have no impact. Now, according to Abaye, who thinks that the water here that fell in is tamei, what's the chiddush? Of course you have to do a shaka with this water. It's mimon of shach tamei, no matter what, because you had tamei water fall in, and everything's going to be tamei. So Tosafot says that there is a chiddush, because in the previous cases, we were dealing with water that fell in. That water had no status, it had no chazaka of being tahor. Therefore, the only question for us was whether the water was the rove or the miut. So we put it into the mikveh b'hashaka to be safe miman of shach. If it's the rove, it'll become tahor. If it's the miyud, it's batel the gabei atzir. Over here, we have an additional chazaka, which is that the water already had gone through a process of hashaka, so it's tahor. So maybe you would think that this kosher water that fell in would not be enough to override the existing chazaka. You have a chazaka that the water is tahor because it went through hashaka. You have a possibility that the tzir is the rove. So when this little tamei water falls in, it's going up against two possibilities. Two reasons to be the hakel. One is that there's a chazaka that the water is tahor, and number two is the possibility that the tzir is the rove. So maybe over there we would not say, and not be choshesh for the fact that this koshu pushes it over the rove, kamash balon. That's what it's teaching us here, according to Abaye, that even in this case we're choshesh for the possibility that it's a rove, and you have to do a shaka again with this mixture. Now truthfully, the Rabbeinu Gershom takes care of all this problem, and says that the case here is talking about a case where there was no hashaka up front, and that it's a case where the water was the minority, never the rove, 50% or less, and therefore he doesn't have a problem. The reason we didn't explain the Gemara that way is because Rashi and Tosafot both disagree, and in the context of the Mishnayot or Makshirim, it sounds like that this Mishnah is talking about Tzir that had undergone Hashaka already. But the Rabbeinu Gershom simplifies all of this by just saying that the case here is not a case of Hashaka beforehand, and it's a case where the water was 50% or less. And that will impact now what the statement of the Gemara is about Mechza al Mechza.
Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Zot Omeret. From this you can conclude, Nechshu Du Amayaretz Larev Mechza Mayim B'Tzir. That they put in half water into the tzir. V'lamali Mechza. Afilu Batzer Me Mechza. Why did you say half and half? Even less than 50% Nami. V'ani Mashu Avalei Palgo Palgo. And the Mashu brings it up to 50-50. Lo Batil. Once you get to 50-50, there's no Bittel anymore. So when it says Eima Ad Mechza, that they are want to put water inside the tzir up to half, up to 50% of it. So even though it's not exactly 50%, as they get close to 50%, if a kosher of water falls in, the bittul is ruined by that water that's there. Ibai Deima, Tumat Amaretz Dirabonon. The whole idea of Tumat Amaretz is Dirabonon. Tumat Mashkin Dirabonon. Tumat Mashkin is also a Din Dirabonon. Beruba Gazru Rabbanan, Bepago Pago Lo Gazru Rabbanan. That's why we require it to be Mechza Mechza, and then the Kosh will be added in order for it to be Tamei, because Chamim, when you had these dual Rabbanans, they were only Gozer Berov. They weren't Gozer and Pago Bepago, and that's why it's expressed as being Zoto Meret, Nechshadua Meret Zarev Mechza Mayim Bitzir. Mechza means, literally, a Mechza, not just Adam Mechza, but Mechza literally, because that's where the Takanat Chachamim applies. Okay, next Mishnah. Someone purchases a nursing mother from the non-Jew. We don't worry about the fact that here it comes with it's nursing a young child. We don't assume that it's a nursing someone else's child. We assume it's nursing its own child, and the fact that it's nursing means that it gave birth already. Nichnas l'toch edrov, v'ra'at ha'mavkirot menikot. V'she'en ha'mavkirot menikot. If he goes into his eder, and he sees that the ones who gave birth for the first time are nursing, and the ones that are giving birth for their second, third, it's not their first birth, menikot, they're also nursing. En choshishim shem v'na shelzu ba'lo etzelzu. We don't worry about the fact that they mixed up their babies, that they switched around. Something happened over here so that they're nursing the wrong child. We assume whatever child is with them, that's who is their child. That'll make a difference, meaning that if they're females with the ones who are giving birth to the first time, they won't be kaddish b'chora. They're males with the ones that are giving birth for their past their first time, second, third, fourth time. If there are males over there, they're not kaddish b'chora. We don't worry that the babies got mixed up. We assume there's a chazaka that a mother that's nursing is nursing its own baby. Well, you have animals giving birth for the first time that are having b'chorim. You have animals that are not giving birth who are not b'chorim. So now you come into your eder. Animal A is giving birth for the first time. Animal B is giving birth for the second time.
Animal B is already gave birth. While
yeah, a long time ago. And now, animal B is nursing something, and animal A is nursing something.
Right.
Do we assume that animal A's baby that it's nursing is its own baby, and animal B is nursing its own baby as well, or we say maybe they got mixed up. They're both nursing babies, but maybe A has B's baby, and B has A's baby. The difference between whether it's Kodesh B'Bechor or not, we have to worry about Safek B'Chor. The answer is no. That whatever A had, and it's its firstborn, that is a Bechor. If it's in a Keva, it's not a Bechor. If it's a male, it is a Bechor. B, whatever it's nursing is its own baby, and we don't worry about it being a Safek Bechor. We assume whatever you're nursing is your own baby. In this perek, anything that is not a machloket in the Mishnah, halacha is like them. So he says, I think that when Rav was dozing off, he said this. Because it's not clear what he's talking about. On what part of our parak is he talking about? If he's talking about the first Mishnah in our parak, Pligei Ba, or Pligei Mafligei, Pligei Ba, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. That's a machlokas Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva in the first Mishnah. Ella, the second Mishnah over here, which was Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, about Charer Adam. That's what you're speaking about? Mishnah to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Kol Vinaki. We have a principle, independent of what Rav says now, we have a principle about Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is Mishnat Kav Vinaki. Rashi says Kav means Ma'at. He only appears number of times in Shas, in Mishnayot. And number two is Naki, that the halacha is always like him. So therefore, we already have a principle of Kav Vinaki, that the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. I don't need Rav's statement over here to tell me the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. It also mentions that there are places in Shas where we say the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. How come? We said here that Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is Kav Vinaki, that everywhere in Shas the halacha is like him. Why does the Gemara have to say in specific places the halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So Tosfot says that the Gemara does that in cases where it seems like the halacha shouldn't be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So in places where it seems like the halacha should not be like him, the Gemara goes out of its way to say halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even though we have this principle of Kav Vinaki. And that's why in certain places we'll see the Gemara go out of its way to say halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ella ad Rabban Shimon Gomliel. So what about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? He's in our Mishnah here. Nobody argues on him. Maybe that's what it's speaking about. It says, Miflag Palik Bebraita. We're going to get to in a second, a Braita, where the Rabbanon do argue on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ella, the next Mishnah, which is at the Rabbi Yossi Ben Mishulam, Hamar Rav Chado Zimna. Rav already said the Allah was like Rabbi Yossi Ben Mishulam. Dama Rav, Hilchotak Rabbi Yossi Ben Mishulam. So why do you need Rav to make another statement about this? Ella Seyar Balmum, which is the Mishnah afterwards. Miflag Pliga, Kavya Ben Hal, Verabonon. Over there we have a machlokas of Kavya Ben Hal, Verabonon. So what's Rav speaking about? Where did Rav say the halacha? First Mishnah is a machloket. Second Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The halacha is like him, even if Rav didn't say anything, because it's Mishnato Kavinaki. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, our Mishnah, there is a machloket. So that can't be what he's speaking about. Next Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam, Rav made a separate statement that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam, so I don't need a statement here. Last Mishnah is again a machloket, the Kavya ben Mihal and the Rabbanon. So what was Rav speaking about? It says, Olam ad Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's talking about our Mishnah. V'hakamash nolan, the bright lo pluktahi. And the Gamash Malon here is that even though in the Brito they argue on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we don't consider that to be a machloket. And the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah, even though there is someone who argues with him on the in the Brito. Since in the Mishnah it's not presented that way, halacha like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. V'kevin damar Rav Yochotah b'kulei pirkin parmi plukto. Rav says that the halacha is like everybody in this parak, except where there's a machloket, then why did he make a separate statement by Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam? Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, the next Mishnah is also, nobody argues on him. He's uncontested in the next Mishnah. So why do you have to make a separate statement? If we only had the statement from Rav, that the halacha in the whole parak is like all those Mishnayot that don't have a machloket in them, and we did not have a separate statement that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, havamina de Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam kai. I would have thought that when Rav's statement about when there's uncontested opinion, the halacha is like them, I would have thought it's referencing the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam. It might be kulei pirkin, but it means kulei pirkin sounds like there's more than one. The Rabbi Yossi tarte amar. So the guy's Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, the next Mishnah has two statements. So on both of the statements, the halacha is like him because he's uncontested. But over here, plukta de breita pluktahi. Over here, by our case of Rav Shimon Gamliel, I would say the halacha is not like him, because you have a breita that says there is an argument, there is contested in the breita. And therefore, Rav came along and Ashmi'ina and halacha Rabbi Yossi, came to teach the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi Meshulam, the Ashmi'ina and the Arabon Shimon Gamliel koi. That the statement about Kulei Pirkin is on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as well, not just on Rabbi Yossi Ben Meshulam, but also on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who plukta de breita, la pluktahi. And the argument, that contested opinion in the Breit is not considered to be a problem. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is a uncontested opinion in the Mishnah, therefore the halacha is like him. Where it says, my Breito. What is this Breito? The Tanya. Halukeach behima minika min oved kochabim. Someone who purchases a nursing animal from a non-Jew, a bacharav, b'chor misafek. One that comes after him is a b'chor misafek. Mipnei. Shimirachemet afupi shenu yoledet. Animals have a tendency to have motherly instincts, even though they didn't give birth. So there's a possibility here that the baby that she is nursing is not her own. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Devar b'chazkato. Now, the chazaka is, and this is an important chazaka, the chazaka is that the baby that the mother is nursing is its own baby. Somebody goes into his corral in the middle of the night, and there yodot, they gave birth, or has many colt, whatever it is he's saying. He goes in there, he sees 10, 15 animals. Some of them are giving birth to their firstborns. Some are giving birth to their second or third babies. In the morning he gets up, all the males are attached to the animals who had already given birth first. They're nursing from mothers that had already given birth. Nikevot, all the females are nursing from mothers who gave birth for the first time. You don't have to worry about it at all. There is no Kedushat Bechor here at all. All the males are with the ones who are giving birth, are already given birth. No Kedushat Bechor. The females are all with the ones who gave birth for the first time. No Bechor here. You don't have to be Choshesh at all. That's the Chazoka of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So now a couple of things about this. Number one is, what about the fact that, over here mentions Lila? Tosfot asks over here, why is it a case where he went in at night? And that's what Tosfot says. Yesh lomar derabuta nakar hachi, that he went in at night. If he went in the day, you'd have the same question. What does it do that he went in at night? The af about the vada hayta tchilat leidatan b'layla, even though that they gave birth at night, shadayin einayim ot makirim b'vlad dodehim, they can't see their children, they couldn't make it up. Drakan litot b'layla, they would make a mistake at night. Balo b'nashel zuha, so zuha filo hachi lo chayshinan. Shimon Gamliel says the chazak is so strong that even if the births were at night, but nobody can see, or the animals can't see which is which, nevertheless, the mothers have an instinctive draw to their babies, and that's so strong that we don't worry about the fact that they couldn't see. It was dark at night and they weren't able to determine which one was their Vlad. And we assume that whatever one they ended up with is the right one. The last thing I want to mention, now this has major implications back to, there's a Tosafot back on Chaf Amud Bet, where the Beinu Tam Paskins, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here by Chazaka, and he says that when you take a Chazaka joined with a Miut, based on this Gemara, that a Chazaka together with a Miut, we are Choshish for the Miut. Even though the Halacha is not like Rabbi Meir about Choshish in the Miut, when you have a Miut with a Chazaka, then we are Choshish. And that's why he learns out of our Gemara, because he says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, not like the machloket we saw back there between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, whether they just have milk is patur min habechorah, not patur min habechorah. That's not the answer. We hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that says not only have to be nursing, but they also have to have an actual animal there. They have to be merachemet. They have to be acting like motherly. They have to have those motherly instincts. If they're showing a motherly instincts, then we assume automatically that the nursing plus the chazaka is enough. By themselves, if they just have milk, the fact that they have milk, and there's no baby around, that's not of a chazaka. Because then we have a miut without a chazaka. Chazaka is a mother who has milk, would be nursing. The fact that she's not nursing ruins her chazaka, and that chazaka together with the miut, they have milk. And there's no baby around, that will cause us to be choshesh. So only when you have the animal together with its baby do we say that it definitely gave birth, and there's no din of bechor over here. So that's something that we learn out of this. Okay, we'll stop over here.